Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Okay, so we said quickly, just a quick one. We said that the call to salvation is the call to discipleship, right? And why did we say so?
The same closing remarks on Jesus or instruction of Jesus in the resurrection was in Mark will quote it as, "Go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father." Mark will quote it as,
"Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that is baptized shall be saved. He that is baptized shall be saved. This I shall follow them by the rule of his name."
Right? Then we'll cast out people. So Mark focused on the soul winning aspect.
Yeah.
And Matthew was on the discipleship aspect of the same instruction. Do you understand? In the same instruction, in the same preaching of the gospel, but Matthew was focused on the discipleship aspect. The ones that have been saved, they now go ahead towards the disciples. So the call to salvation is the call to discipleship. I believe the call to salvation is the call to discipleship. So we saw that this in discipleship, it will be discipline specific.
It will be discipline specific. This will be the section 8, right? Section 8.
Now, it will be discipline specific. And this will say there is a discipline. So the church is not where, when you hear discipline specific, it's not where you come to learn every topic in the world.
No.
Is where you come to learn concerning Christ. I call it the church is where you learn about Christ. It's not where you come to learn about other things by the side. No. So we're having teenagers nights.
We're having suya nights. We will be taking suya, sitting it down, and talking about relationship by the side.
No, the church.
The church will have, what do they call suya nights? The church is not where we come to crack jokes. You know, people will invite basket mouths, mouth skirts, every skit in the church. We invite a brush again to the church. The church is not a cinema house, so you come to watch movies. Altar on the blood or blood on the altar. That's not what we come to do in the church. The church is discipline specific.
One, right?
So can we narrow it down to say, see how I start to account, right? We can narrow it down to say, Jesus instructs us to make disciples. He tells us what should be done in discipleship, right? Which is what the curriculum says, teaching them. So, discipleship is focused on Christ. The local church is focused on Christ. Something I left out to say, remember I said the church is not a teaching center? The church is not a, I know some people might want to come at me, but who I did? The church is not a prayer center. The church is not a miracle center. Amen. The church is not a miracle center.
Amen.
So
So there's a curriculum for discipleship which will be what? Concerning Christ's resurrection. Which will be concerning Christ's resurrection. The primary book we have, the primary material we have in the church is the Bible. So the church is where we teach the Bible. The church is a Bible school. If a man is well taught in his local church, he doesn't need to go to the Bible school. He doesn't need to travel to the Bible school because your local church is the Bible school. Are you following me? The local church in the Bible school. So, in this section, we will discuss a whole lot of things as regards that surrounds the local church. Some of which we might not even have been practicing. But you know, we'll just discuss about the local church. Are you hearing me? Some of which might not be what you have fundamentally in our structure. But we know by the Holy Ghost, we'll get there. Amen. Amen. But you know, the church in general. So when a man gets saved, he is brought to the local church. He begins the journey of knowing the word. And we say the result of that journey is what? Spiritual growth. By now, if I just say the result of the journey is whatever should be called spiritual growth. Okay, see? Because that's what we've been discussing, spiritual growth. So, from what we've been seeing from the last session, we can see that God left spiritual growth in the hands of some people. Are you seeing that? God left spiritual growth in the hands of some people. And their role is to teach us, not teaching them. Are you putting that? Teaching them. So, there are those who are responsible for teaching. And your own responsibility is to be taught. Is to make yourself available to be taught. That is your role. Hallelujah. Your role is to get yourself available to be taught. That implies that you are not. That is how God has set it up. Remember, I said God set it up that way, right? 1 Corinthians 8:18. So that means if that's how God has set it up, that means I am not the determinant of my spiritual growth. A man is not the determinant of his spiritual growth. I am not the determinant of my spiritual growth. Are you following that? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But your local church is. Your local church is the determinant of your spiritual growth. Not you. It's your local church. The local church is the determinant of your spiritual growth. Your role is to the degree of how you make yourself available to be taught. How you make yourself available to be taught. So, it is wrong. In fact, when you hear a pastor say, know God for yourself, study the scripture for yourself, you need to study the scripture for yourself. Just know that you've lost your pastor, right? You've lost your pastor. So let us study the word for yourself. Look at the believing Christians. First of all, that action they did, they were not yet saved. But the believing Christians, they went to search at the matter. They have to say they were noble. Were more noble. That word noble in the Greek is used for status. Meaning, we're not talking about that act of theirs or not what made them noble. No. They were noble because it's people of class that are called nobles. Are you following me? So, he just tells you this is their status in the society. Do you get? That is their status in the society. In fact, that act of theirs is an act of unbelief because before they believe, they have to go search the scripture first. So, it's an act of unbelief. Are you following me? No. You don't learn from those guys. You don't learn because they were not saved at that time. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So when a pastor begins to tell his members, you need to learn the scripture for yourself. You need to study for yourself. To know God for yourself. To get to know God for yourself. Just know that that day, just like this. I've lost my pastor.
That's it. You lost your pastor. You need to start praying for the restoration of your pastor.
Because the responsibility of your pastor is to teach you the word, is to explain scriptures to you.
So that means, as a man that has a pastor, listen.
That's what it is that I will not say in this session, but I will say it
maybe by next 2 years. Yes, the next 2 years. But I will just help you see a glimpse of it. Hallelujah. A glimpse of it. You know, for your study life, I've said this over. We had a teaching with pastors or Bible college. You should learn to restrict your study to the boundaries of what your pastor has taught. Are you listening? Restrict your study to the boundaries of what your pastor has taught.
Meaning, if I'm to study the scripture, I must study it with my teaching notes.
Are you hearing me? You must study it in the light of your teaching notes. Don't go and say, I have to study for myself.
Paul will say to Timothy, the things you've learned from me.
You see that? There is a person he learned from. He said, thou have followed my doctrine. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. He said, thou have carefully followed my doctrine. You see that? Followed my doctrine. That word doctrine, the word didaskalia, meaning you have followed my explanation. Are you following me? So when that gets to verse 15, that says, from a child you have known the Holy Spirit, you are able to make you wise. Will it be false explanation of the scriptures? Yes. That would be false explanation of the scriptures. Are you hearing me?
So the moment the pastor begins to tell you, you have to know the Bible for yourself. You have to learn to know the Bible for yourself, to know God for yourself. Just ask your pastor. You lost him. Glory to God. You just say, I lost my pastor. Just start praying for him. Amen. Amen. Because the responsibility of the pastor or the leader is Ephesians 4:11-12,
saying for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that word perfecting of the saints, you can go there, draw a line, and you can actually cross-reference it with what? Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them. Did you get that? Teaching them.
Are you following me? You are cross-referencing, teaching them. Matthew 28, 20, teaching them.
So the perfecting will take place how? With scriptures explained.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So it's wrong when a pastor tells his flock, study scriptures for themselves. Look at Acts 20, verse 28. Before we get to 28, let's just take these scriptures together. Ephesians 4. Let's read it together. I want us to read it everything together. Ephesians 4 first. We'll get to Acts 20. Ephesians 4? Are you in Ephesians 4? Let's start from verses. We'll all read together from verse 4 to verse 16. Let's go. One, two, go. I'll call the verses and we'll read. Let's go. One, two, go.
There is one word and one spirit.
Verse 5.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Verse 6.
One Lord and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all.
7.
But unto them one was soon giving grace, and is the messenger of Christ.
8.
Yet he says, when he is led of your mind, let that be captured, and give gifts unto them.
9.
What is it?
11. So, that's it. Okay, glory to God.
So, quickly, verses 11 shows us the leaders, leadership in the local church. Verses 12 tells us their role is to teach, perfecting of the saints for the work of the men, for the effect of the body of Christ, we will come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, right? To a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that will be ministry indeed. Ministry indeed. Okay. Let's quickly rush to Acts 20:28. If you are there, I'll read. So they say, therefore, take heed to yourself and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit had made thee overseers to shepherd. Mark that word, shepherd. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Mark that. So, the responsibility of the leadership. Now, Paul here was speaking to the elders in Ephesus. Those elders in Ephesus, he met. I want you to look at that. I want you to do one quick cross reference of where we read. I want you to look at this keenly. But remember, I said I will only show you a glimpse of it, but I wouldn't really go down to it. Look at chapter 19. Paul was in Ephesus. He met some guys. And they were 12. And asked them, to which baptism were you baptized? They said, to John's baptism. And after all those conversations, verses 5. And they heard this and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid down on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Do you understand what they prophesied? So Paul taught them. In chapter 20, Paul was coming back from Troas to Miletus, and then he stopped back in Ephesus to meet these twelve people he had discipled for a space of 3 years. He taught them for 3 years. So he met them. They are now elders. Mark that word, elders. That is to say, elders means they were now leaders in the local church. Now leaders in the local church. Now we're going to we'll dwell a bit on eldership today and leaders in the local church. So now he met them. He called for them. He met them. So on his way from Miletus to Ephesus, he met them. That is verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and he called for the elders of the church. Did you see that? He called for the elders of the church. So he saw them, he spoke to them. Now in verse 28, this was his parting words to them. He told them, take heed to yourself and to all the flock, which the Holy Ghost had made thee overseers. Mark that word. So the leaders in the church, local church, are overseers.
Remember, we said the leadership in the local church goes beyond just teaching. We said that in the last section. That the local church is not a teaching center. It goes beyond teaching. The Bible says the leadership will watch over your souls.
Watch over your souls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, pastors are overseers. In the local church, You can't have two people speaking different things. You can only have one person speak and the other person listens. Are you hearing me? So the local church is a teaching, it's more or less, let me not put it as teaching center, but in teaching, one person listens, another person teaches. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Aha. One person teaches, the other person listens. That is discipleship. Okay, now I'm not putting the local church in discipleship. That was what I was looking for, not local church. In discipleship, one person learns, the other person teaches. Glory to God. I met someone who was supposed to be doing discipleship. He said, me and my disciples, we are still having scriptures. I said, you don't have a disciple. You don't have a disciple at all.
But in discipleship, one person is given to learn, the other person is teaching. Are you hearing me? No matter what.
Are you hearing me? It's just like,
Pastor Garuba is speaking and Ezekiel is arguing with Pastor Garuba scriptures. How? It's not even possible. So what else was he giving to God? Learning. Are you following me? Glory to God.
Glory to God. Look at that Ephesians 4 again. But that is verse 11. It says, when it mentions that ministry, he said to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Now, he was not calling it in any hierarchical order. There's no hierarchy. Hallelujah. There's no hierarchy.
Anyway, as he was discussing, as he was calling it, no hierarchy.
But something you must understand. You know, some people say, Pastor, I have explained that pastors, apostles is bigger than prophet. No. Don't say that. Don't let it not be even found amongst you. Do you understand?
There's no order.
Glory to God. There's in no order. But something to quickly look at. The local church, the person in charge of the local church,
I need to get this together, is the pastor. The pastor is in charge of the local church.
The word pastor is when you get the word a shepherd.
The pastor is in charge of the local church.
The pastor is saddled with the responsibility of leading the flocks of Christ.
He's saddled with that responsibility. That's a pastor. Look at John 21. Let's see what Jesus said to Peter.
John 21, from verse 15. John 21, verse 15. So when Jesus had eaten, breaking fast, when Jesus had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, say, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. It is feed my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Judah, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, quickly. So Peter was saddled with the responsibility to lead.
must start with the responsibility to lead
the disciples, the other disciples. Glory to God. And that is why, if you see, if you look at from Acts of Apostles chapter 1 into chapter 11, as it were, you discover that it's one person that was speaking all truth.
Who?
Peter. I am. You read from Acts 1 to Acts 11. And I'll tell you why we stopped at Acts 11. Okay? So, congrats. Yeah, to Acts 11. You see that it's one person that was speaking, which is Peter. In fact, in Acts 2:14, after the Holy Ghost meeting,
where those guys came together, verse 14, just look at verse 14 of Acts 2.
Acts 2:14. I want you to follow me keenly, everything I say. That's 14. But Peter, standing up with the eleven, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." I want you to say this or something here.
Remember, Peter was not the only apostle. Was Peter the only apostle? No. Was Peter the only apostle? No. But why was Peter seen on true? He was given that responsibility. Do you understand? He followed him. Glory to God. Was given that responsibility to tend to the Lord's flock.
Now, I want you to follow me quickly. And something you must see here is that it's not Peter to become Pope. Glory to God. I want you to get these things right.
Not Peter to become Pope. But he was saddled with that responsibility. They were other apostles. So that means that the local church, the apostles, is not apostles that head the local church, the pastor.
We use the last session to tell you what the local church really is, right? Right? So I want you to follow King. So Peter stood up and spoke. Watch something. When Peter stood up to minister, what were the others doing? They were pacing around. Woo!
Peter, tell them! Choke them more! Choke them more! But that's what they were doing. They were listening. They were listening. Peter was not teaching, and Tom was not saying, Peter, calm down. You know, the Greek word for rejoicing is actually agape. You know, when agape, you know, Peter, calm down. Come, I know, you know we are both apostles, so calm down, let me continue from here. You didn't have that. You didn't have Matthew say, Piro, calm down. You know, I'm the tax collector, I was always a bit screwed. I mean, they keep it on. But you know, you didn't have John say, you know, I'm closer to his heart. I'm always staying at his chest. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you have to look for another word for bread, what is that again? For
kapos.
Is it kapos or whatever? It will be me. Because I'm always by his side. I know him well. So Peter, calm down, you know, let me over exaggerate. This one I was there live and direct. Look, Peter, calm down, we're both apostles. Chillax. No, you didn't have that. Now that you have Mary, the mother of Jesus, in that, you know, he was there, she was there too.
Yes.
She was like, Peter, I understand. But you know, if you were to talk about how he was born, you know, I carried him, and my breath is sore. So I have deeper explanation. No. In fact, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and she listened. Are you following me? So we show you that in the local church there is order. You see, in the local church, when it comes to teaching, for those of you who have listened to me, you will discover that if I have several things to say, for example, I have plenty to say. Recently,
And I'm teaching, and I discovered that teaching,
you know, there's a difference between teaching and Holy Ghost preaching. I'm teaching and I'm hearing echoes. If you listen carefully to what I do, I will consist of other information and stay with what you are echoing.
It's just something that I just do normal. As in, I discovered it from GPLR. So when I was going through GPLR, listen to the message, that long message, I listened to it, everything.
And I was reading my notes was on volume. I was going to say, it's called that I skipped 7,000 hours of teaching GPLR because of people who were echoing. In a teaching meeting. A whole lot.
And I hope to
bring it in the back, maybe some years to come. You will not sit in this same GPLR.
Because I'm not teaching on communion table. Do you understand? So what are you teaching GPLR? Wait till then. Wait till GPLR. But it's just something that I have discovered.
Because when it comes to teaching, there's one person talking, there's another person listening.
Amen. Amen. Very important. Very important. So they were all listening. In verse 5 to 13, when everyone was speaking, we heard confusion.
He was speaking my language. They were confused. Were you confused? Who were they? The barbarians. They were not yet saved. Are you following that? There was confusion when everybody was talking.
But there's order in the church. Glory to God. There's order in the church. So, that is something you must see. So I can say in the church or in the local church, we are not opinionated.
We don't, my opinion is, kill your opinion. Let me use the secondary school word, let me exit your opinion. Exit. Kill it. Kill your opinion. Kill it. Kill your opinion.
In the local church. Especially when the word is taught. Amen. Amen. So, in the local church, when the pastor is talking or teaching, your role is to listen.
So, if you now read the training, Act of Apostles, when you now begin to get to around chapter 15, you discover that Peter was no longer the pastor in Jerusalem. There was another new pastor in Jerusalem whose name is James. So now in chapter 15, are you listening to me? In chapter 15, there was a dispute. Okay? I'm teaching, you're reading Greek. Glory to God. So,
where was I? Now, in chapter 15, they had a dispute. They had a dispute. Remember, Jerusalem, the pastor there was now who? James. Now, look at chapter 15 of Acts. Verses 1. Now certain men came from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. It's a different nonsense doctrine. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputes with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Did you get that? Now, chapter 15, look at verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter.
It's something key to see here in the local church. It is, you know, dispute in the local church is handled by the Holy Spirit, which is the leaders. Isn't that? When I mean dispute, I talk about dispute is not the punching a punch back. No, it's talking about
issues over doctrinal matters.
Doctrinal matters are handled by the leadership of the local church. I see that. So they brought doctrinal issues to the local church, to the leadership. And that is why, to deny when they learn it from you, the reason why Jesus taught them in Matthew 18, he says, that man that had a problem, had an issue with his brother, he said, tend to the church. And that was tend to the church, they was referring to what the ministry needs, which will be what the leadership of the local church. Are you following me? Then he answered, well, two or more are gathered in my name. So he's referring to that physical gathering. And the leadership in that physical gathering. So it's something you need to see as you study. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. So disputes over doctrinal matters are handled by the ministry gift in the local church. Hallelujah. So when they brought it up, everybody had their tongues to speak. People were talking, you know, even Peter spoke. But who gave the final verdict? James. Look at verse 13. And after they had become silent, you know, they had their talk, everybody took their tongues, they were talking. They wanted to hit the conclusion of the matter. We need somebody, you know, we need to conclude this thing. Are you hearing me? So, who spoke? James. Now they were silent. Take note of that, they were silent. James answered saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Why will he speak this way? Because he is the pastor at that time in Jerusalem. Are you following me? Amen. So they all listened while he spoke. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. They all listened while he spoke. Different people spoke different things. They had different. Some people said, you know, it's good though, but you know, they should also consider this and that and that. Peter too spoke. But now, when James, the pastor, was to speak, everybody was shocked. Were muted because the pastor is speaking. Hallelujah. 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 So, in the local church, when the pastor is speaking, he's teaching, everyone listens. Orderliness is what it is called. When the pastor is speaking, everybody is listening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, therefore, in the local church, we can have all the ministry gifts operational, but the leadership of the local church is the pastor. You can have all remember, the ministry gift we will see in the local church. We have the apostles, evangelists, pastors, prophets in the local church, right? But the responsibility to handle the local church is given to the pastor. How are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. I said this, you know, in the year 2011, I happen to know a particular church where they had a prophet and they had a pastor. So, listen. The pastor actually started the church. I'm trying to. You know what I mean? So, the pastor actually started the church. He now had a prophet. Eh? As the prophet, so they were doing church together. Along the line, because the prophet is a prophet, was not doing some funny thing. Pastor said, no, I am the pastor here. If you say the Holy Ghost is telling you to do something, I'm the pastor, you will not carry the members and go and do that. You know that? You have to listen to me. And I know, after apostles, is prophet, before evangelist, before pastor. You don't just kind of dismiss that thing. And there's no apostle here. Look at from the leader. It's not a joke, though. And now I talk to him. It was worse than Jacob. Came to God, scatter all the church, prophets gone. It will make money with me. Prophets gone. Scatter church, different pastors fire. For what? You don't want the Holy Ghost to move. You are coming. You know this guy thing?
And they separated. You know, just so funny. But his lack of, his, did you see, the, your level of, how should I put it now? You cannot function above your revelation, the revelation you know concerning Christ. Put it like this. You cannot function effectively above what you've come to know in the scriptures. You understand me? So your attitude will reflect your understanding of the word, of the written word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's move ahead. So we said you can have the ministry gift, but the responsibility of the local church is handed to the pastor. And we are going to see some things very, very important shortly. So in the local church, you cannot have more than one pastor. In the local church. Amen. You cannot have more than one pastor in the local church. In fact, as a disciple, you cannot have more than one person discipling you. You cannot have more than one person discipling you, which is your local church. Are you hearing me? The issue with the church at Galatia was other teachers. The church at Corinth, Kuma, is other teachers. They had different instructors. You understand? Different instructors. People telling them here and there, telling them different things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in as much as you cannot have more than one pastor in the local church, the pastor in the local church can as well assign you to those in the local church to watch over you. We're getting there. The pastor in the local church can assign you to other people in the local church to watch over you. Let's go back to Ephesians 4:11. So we've seen that the pastor, I've told her that the pastor is in charge of the local church, right? Right? Okay. Now, that ministry gift you now see, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. If you look at it from the book of Acts, they are all called elders. Eldership. We're going to look at that now. They are all called eldership. They're all called elders. They are all called what? Elders. That word elders in the Greek is the word presbyteros. Presbyteros. Now, in the book of Acts, we're going to limit ourselves a bit in the book of Acts, then we'll flow to other scriptures. But for the book of Acts, the word presbyteros, which is elders, is used for old men in the society. Now, not in the church now, no, in the society. Old men. Older men in the society. Older men in society, men of other men in society, in the synagogue, all those old guys. You find it in Acts 4:8. Acts 4:8. He says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Did you see that? He's not talking about elders inside church, but elders of Israel, older people in the world. Society. Look at verse 23. He said, and being let go, they went to their companion and report all that the chief priests and the elders have said to them. The elders will be what? Elders in the land, in Israel. Remember, they were younger guys. I told us in this series of teaching that they were teenagers mostly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 6, verse 12. Elders also. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. That is Stephen. Glory to God. Are you following me? You find it also in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Timothy 5, 1. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5. Thank you. Okay. So do not rebuke an older man, but exalt him as a father, young men as brothers. Referring to what some, which is elders in the society that comes to the local church. He said, do not rebuke him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You find it in verse 2 also, older women, elders. Is used for the leadership of the church. That word elders is used for the leadership of the church. These are not people who are believers, but those who are in leadership positions. Look at Acts 11 verse 30. Acts 11 verse 30. Acts 11 verse 30. It says here, this they said, this they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They sent it to the elders by the hands of, that is where they sent to leave materials to Judea. Hallelujah. Sent to the elders. The elders will be elders of the church then. In Acts 15 verse 2, where we just read, let's look at it again, Acts 15 2. He says, therefore, Paul and Barnabas have no small dissension and dispute with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So the elders will be those in the leadership position. Can you see? They are called elders. In verse 4, the same thing. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. Did you see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the elders, does it include the apostles? Yes. Yes. But the writer of the person of Paul, and I say Paul, of Luke, he makes you see, right, so that you see the apostles. He tries to differentiate the, when he says the apostles and elders, is differentiating the 12 apostles, I believe the 12 including Matthias, from the other leaders. Are you believing that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You know, we'll get to see that soon, that both the apostles who are called elders, we'll see that from Peter. Glory to God. We'll see that too from Peter. But let's look at Acts. That's Acts 15. We have it again in verse 6, verse 22, and chapter 16, verse 4. Chapter 21, verse 18. Acts. Acts.
You know, Paul later became an apostle. Right? And was counted as an elder. In chapter 13.
Okay, but let's just go ahead. In chapter 14, verse 23, go back a bit. Chapter 14, verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they have believed. So elders are ordained. How did you see that? Elders are ordained.
Elders are what? Ordained. I need to follow these things critically.
Okay. You know, apart from the 12, there were others who became apostles. Apart from the 12. Someone like Paul. And there were other, Barnabas too. Right? There were other apostles. But listen, they were not the 12 apostles.
Are you following? They were not the 12 apostles.
Okay. And Luke makes you see that distinction. So he uses the word elders and apostles, or apostles and elders. Let me see the 12 and then the other. Look at Acts 20 verse 17, where we read in the last session. When he got to Ephesus, he called for the elders of the church. He called for the elders of the church. So he used some men who Paul taught in Acts 19 that we've seen, and now they have been saddled with the responsibilities in the local church there at Ephesus. Are you seeing that? They were saddled with responsibility in the local church in Ephesus. I hope you are following me. But as it were, who was the pastor in Ephesus? Who is the pastor in Ephesus? It's Paul. Are you following me? Paul is the pastor in Ephesus, but he now has 12 elders who were now saddled with responsibility in the local church. Are you following that?
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Okay, let's continue. In 1 Timothy 5:17, so let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So that those who labor in word and doctrine, say, so let the elders who rule well, elders, it's used for those with responsibility in the local church over life. They have a oversight responsibility. Elders. In Titus 1:5. Before we go to Titus 1:5, look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. Paul to Timothy said, I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Did you see that? Remain in Ephesus. So, Ephesus was where he had the 12 leaders. So he sent a pastor to pastor over there. He sent Timothy to pastor over there. I hope you are following that. Okay, Titus. Titus 1:5. Well, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things which are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. Appoint elders. So who will be the elders? Elders, that would appoint what? Ordain elders. So elders are ordained. In James 5:14, just to follow this. James 5:14. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray with him, pray over him rather, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let them pray with him, anointing him with oil. You want to know what that means? Listen to the message, anointing oil. We have that. Right? The anointing oil. Baptism, communion, and the anointing oil. Listen to that message. We had a discussion on explaining anointing oil. So, we're not saying you anoint them. No, that anointing is used for medication. As we have already called for, so let them call for the elders. The elders will be those in leadership position in the local church. In 1 Peter 5:1, he said, the elders who are among you, I exalt. So, he's writing to those in the local church who oversee lives, say, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, say, I am a fellow elder. So, Peter makes you see that as an apostle is an elder. So, apostles are elders also. Are you seeing that? Apostles are elders also. 3 John 1. In fact, you see too in 2 John, it's John heading. He said, the elder to the elect lady. That is 2 John 1. To the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Not only I, but also those who have known the truth. He calls himself the elder. 3 John 1, he calls himself the elder to the beloved Gaius. Jonathan calls himself elder. So the apostles are elders. Are you following me? Apostles are elders. Okay. So what it implies is that every of the ministry gifts is called elders. It's called elders in the local church. Leadership in the local church are called elders. Are you hearing me? They're called elders. They have responsibility over lives. And something on the side that Paul makes us see is the fact that we call the fact that elders are ordained. We are not actually discussing pneumaticals or ministry gifts, but we'll do that by November. So we'll still get to discuss this. I mean, sorry, I said December before JPLR. So we'll discuss pneumaticals again and we'll look at ministry gifts very well. So we'll go a bit further on where we stop today, because you are teaching the local church. Hallelujah. Are you following? You're teaching the local church. So we'll still discuss ministry gifts subsequently this year. Okay, so it says that elders are ordained. Now when you talk about ordained, don't start thinking of seminary school and oil, ululu, plate, cross, cross. No, that's not ordination. That's the kind of ordination we're talking about here. That word ordained in the Greek means to set over something. To set over something. To set over something. For example, look at Acts 6. I want you to see something. Look at Acts 6. Go to Acts 6. So round up tomorrow. Round up tomorrow. Acts 6. Are you in Acts 6? Look at verse 2. I was on verse 1. Say, in those days, the number of the disciples were multiplying. There arose complaint among the Hebrews by the, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek from amongst yourselves men good of good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom will be appointed over this business, but will give ourselves continually to the ministry of, to prayer and the ministry of the word. And this saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicol, Timon, Phaminas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. When they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And why did they lay hands on them? They now set them over. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Okay. So, they actually ordained men to serve tables. I want you to take note of verses 4 critically. Look at verse 4. We'll come back there. Can you see that verse 4? Yeah. Okay. Verses 3 into verse 4. We'll come back there critically. So, they set aside people who will serve tables. So, those guys are called deacons. Deacons. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Stephen was a deacon. I want to just show you something. Philip was a deacon. I did not call Femi. Philip was a deacon. I want you to understand the progression. Was a deacon? If you now read in, that should be chapter 21 or 20. No, that should be 21. You now hear the fact that Philip was called a prophet, but he was a deacon. So over time, it was his children, it was his daughter that was prophets.
I take back that.
Jonathan, so you have Philip?
Sorry, evangelist. Thank you. So we saw that from being a deacon, we saw him behave as an evangelist. Are you following that? But he was a deacon. I need to draw your attention to that.
Now, and that is because of where we are going to read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 shortly.
So, first of all, let me tell you who a deacon is. A deacon is an assistant pastor, an associate pastor, a pastor's helper. Pastor's helper. The one that will carry 11 laptops and will not go online. Pastor's helper.
Amen.
He was the pastor's helper. One that will pay us.
You know.
Pastor's helper. And you see him with Pastor Wisdom all the time. Pastor's helper.
Has he served well, sir? Amen. Amen. And these days I'm beginning to see the continuing with Pastor Ganza. Glory to God. Funny enough, that is who a deacon is, an associate pastor, and is ordained to serve tables. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, Paul, I need to look at how Paul now writes to Timothy concerning the deacon. First Timothy chapter 3. God will have deacons in the local church. First Timothy chapter 3. And I want the pastors too to listen.
Glory to God.
When I mean listen, because there are some things I want to say here that we didn't discuss before now. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 8. Look at this very well. It said, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. You hear that word? Not greedy for? Pay them as is proper. If you know, you know. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I did not say the scripture I'm reading to you. I'm putting scripture to your face. I give it to you. Glory to God. So not greedy for money. It's not greedy. Yeah. It says being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. Look at verse 30. I want you to see this. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Did you see that? I want you to look at that question.
That's verse 13. It says, for those who have served well as a deacon obtain for themselves a good standing and boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus.
There's a way I explained it to pastors that I might not go that route. I would have gone back to, but I will not go that route in this teaching. Maybe years to come. But there's something I want you to keep to look at
here. The deacon is actually supposed to,
let me put it like this, is leaders. Deacons are leaders on watch.
Leaders to be that are on watch. Let me put it that way. Leaders to be that we are watching. That they are found faithful.
Are you following me? Remember I said there are some things that in fact, let me say it like that. Remember I said, we might not have them in practice yet here. Eh? But we trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So a deacon is not supposed to be, listen, a deacon is not supposed to handle lives.
Glory to God. You know what I mean? He's an associate pastor under watch. He's one that we are still watching.
Are you following me?
One that we are still watching. That will find him faith. Now go to 2 Timothy 2. I want you to see something.
Yeah.
He says, the things which you heard from me amongst many witnesses. He says, the same commit to who? Faithful men. Who will be the faithful men? The deacons that were under watch, that have been declared, say, commit it to faithful men. Who will be able to do what? Teach others also. That means that in progress, the deacon is supposed to grow to now start handling responsibilities in the local church. That is, we can now commit lives to your hand. Are you following me? Are you following me? But he is a pastor under watch. He's a pastor under watch. He's, they call it in business world, in yoga call it, he's a pastor under shadowing. He's shadowing another pastor. He's supporting the pastor everywhere. He's carrying the pastor's life. He's learning. Are you following me? He's learning. We are watching him. Amen. 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 Look at verses 1. Another thing. He said there is a faithful saying. 1 Timothy 3:1. For a man who desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Bishop. Remember in verses 15, he said look at verses 15 of that 1 Timothy 3. That if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So it tells you, what he's telling him is, okay, orderliness, this is how things should be in order. There is a bishop. Today in our world, a bishop is a pastor's pastor. You know what I mean? A bishop is a pastor. In fact, you have a pope. Archbishop, bishop, we now go and even see pastor. But that's supposed to be. The office of a bishop is to be desired. You understand? It's to be desired. I hope you are following that. It's to be desired. You see, I am no longer a pastor.
Don't call me a pastor. I'm not a bishop.
You know, we're chained.
Chained. I'm a bishop. Call me a bishop.
You know, you have a pastor?
No, but I'm your pastor's pastor. I'm a bishop. No, we're a guy.
I've heard someone say that. No, they say something like this. In that note, I can't really place the words, but it's something similar. You count it a privilege that you have a bishop over you. It's just like having a professor teach you. Glory to God. You are just like having a professor teach you. He said, when you have a bishop over you, you don't have a pastor, you don't have a reverend, you don't have a reverend father, you've got a bishop over you. Glory to God. You know the anointing of a bishop. You miss it. Lead it well. Come back. He said, he who desires. Amen. Did you see that?
Glory to God. So, the bishop is not, in fact, this is a shocker, but it's the truth. The bishop is not a ministry gift. But don't mention as ministry gift.
Yeah? But neither is a bishop a pastor. A bishop is not a pastor. Okay, let me put it like this.
My sentence is not to demean anybody, please. Not to demean anybody, but teaching the gospel, teaching the truth of the scriptures.
Amen.
Are you going to? For teaching the truth of the scriptures.
not to demean anybody, demean anybody who has gone ahead of me in ministry, in the work, even before I was born. But just explaining scripture the way scripture ought to be explained. Amen. Okay, so the bishop is not the ministry gift, neither is it a bishop, a pastor. This is real. I mean, I ask myself, how come I didn't change this in my book? I'm telling myself, this has to be. But that's true. Okay. Rather, the bishop is under the pastor. It is to be desired. It is to be desired. It is to be desired. Okay. There's something I'm going to say at the end of the teaching that okay. Glory to God. So, let's look at this. The bishop is under the pastor, and it is to be desired. Now that word bishop is the word episcopos. Episcopos. You find it in Titus 1:5. What we just said, but let's look at Titus 1:5. Titus 1:5. He said, for this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things which are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. Verse 7. Say if a, okay, let's just continue. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop. Now he's telling a pastor, Titus, to ordain bishop. You see that? But a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine. No violence. So he tells a pastor to ordain a bishop. So a bishop is an elder. Don't God listed for us. Now let me change that. What I said, let me water it down. Don't God listed for us by Paul as a ministry gift, but will be found in the eldership position in the local church. This is what the deacon. Are you hearing me? But not listed for us by Paul, but we find it in the administration of the local church. Are you following that? Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So a bishop, that word episcopos, it implies an overseer. One who watches over others. One who watches over others. He is like what we call cell leader. Or is it, yes, sir. Like what we call cell leader. HCF leader, zonal pastor. Are you following that? One who watches over a soul, who watches over lives, is called a bishop. Acts 20:28. And so whom God has made thee overseers, episcopal. Make thee overseers. Overseers. So those 12 were what? Bishop in Ephesus. Are you following me? Are you following that? They are bishops. The 12 are bishops. I hope you are following me. They watch over lives. They are cell leaders, HL zonal pastors. They are called bishops. So, look at that Acts 6 verse 4. There's something, I told us to look at that verse 4, right? Okay, let's look at that Acts 6 4. Now, before we look at Acts 6 4,
I'm going a bit off my notes. No one can ask you, so let's go to Matthew.
Are you with me? So let's go back. Act 4. Act 6 again. Something just done for me. Act 6. Let's allow notes. Act 6. Are you in Act 6? Verse 4. Verse 3 to 4. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we appoint over this world. We give ourselves continually to the minister of the word and to prayer to the minister of the word. Look at verses 2. The 12 summoned the multitude of his disciples and said to them, it is not desirable that we should leave the world and serve tables.
As it were, if you look at it very well, as it were, the eldership in the local church, or put it this way, the pastor in the local church.
Okay, let me put it this way.
The eldership in the local church is the responsibility of the pastor. The eldership in the local church is the pastor's responsibility. So, the apostle makes you see that, hey, it is our responsibility to serve tables actually, but we will assign it to. Do you understand? So, it falls under the responsibility of the pastor in the local church. Are you understanding? Are you following me? And the pastor can now assign such responsibility to others to handle. So that responsibility is now assigned to others to handle. It's the pastor's responsibility that has now been assigned to others. The deacons, those who are to arrange chairs, those who are to make sure the pulpit is okay, looking time, is that the local pastor which he now assigned to others to handle. Amen.
Amen.
And that is why, you know, the disciples didn't just call, or Paul wouldn't just say apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, or you know, just say deacons and bishops. They heard it, they all saw it in Christ.
Are you hearing me?
They all saw it in Christ. Jesus is called the Bishop of our soul. That is Peter, right? The Bishop of our soul.
So that means you see that responsibility in Christ first. Amen.
To be seen in Christ first.
Saddled now, the pastor is with that responsibility which he can now hand over to others to handle. And that is why, in handing over responsibilities, you don't just get there. I know of a brother one time that joined ministry after he heard the word the first week. First week, he heard the word. Second week, he heard the word. He approached one of our pastors and said, sir, I don't just want to hear. I want to be part. He just joined 2 weeks.
Once wanted to hand over responsibility to him, is he here today? Sometimes you can just hear the word and it's sweet in your ears. Ah! This is how it will be, bro. Wait, yes, hear well.
Amen. You know, some people can't someone's stamina to sit for 2 hours hearing me say, because they are used to.
The Lord will do it this your week. Woo! It's your week. I'm telling you under the mandate of the Holy Ghost. This week, any arrow coming against you will scatter.
That's what they hear this one. So they are not used to hear this one. I don't know the right thing.
Hearing Greek, hearing Hebrew. Ha ha ha.
You know, anybody that attends meeting when we have Holy Ghost meetings want to stay. But say this is the happening place. Holy Ghost meeting.
But yes, teaching first. Sit for hours first. You say, Your nash will burn you on the way. I say, child. Some people will sit like this, sit with half feet like this. Some will rest. She say, gosh. I just starting. Just starting. Those people who made us do sections during GPL, we will not have it this year. We will not break.
And that will be the stretch. So we'll start from prayer retreat. We'll start gaining stamina. Again, stamina. Glory to God. Amen.
So, you don't just get. So, it's the responsibility of the pastor, yes, but you don't just hand it over to anybody. That's why they say, look for men full of the Holy Ghost. Look at that. That's characteristics in Acts 6. Look at verse 5. And they pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Meaning they watched him over time. Do you understand me? They watched them over time. Paul will not set the criteria for becoming a deacon. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, for becoming a bishop. Because these are the responsibility of the pastor. The pastor is to take care of the sheep, but the pastor cannot hand it over to different pastors who are bishops. Are you hearing me? And you have different pastors too. Do you know that? But listen, you must, there is a criteria for it. Meaning anybody cannot just occupy that position. That is why in 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1 to 4, it says a bishop, one who will handle the responsibility of taking care of another person's spiritual growth, must not be a novice. Let's look at that. Must not be a novice. We are rounding up now. We're coming to the end now. So we'll kick it off from tomorrow. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, verse 2. It says, a bishop must be blameless. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Take that word. Must be what? Able to teach. Not giving to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having no children in submission with all reverence. Hallelujah. Verse 6, not a novice. So a novice cannot handle life. If you have not watched you for years, we cannot assign you over to be a leader here, except we want you for at least 1 year. And you must attend all meetings, all prayer meetings, so you can hand over one life, one soul to your hand. You must attend all meetings, CRC, GPLR, prayer retreats, everything, teaching meetings, you must be present. We must watch you. If we are going to evangelize, we will check if you came around 5 minutes to closure. We watch you. Hallelujah. I must not be a novice. You must be proven over time. Amen. It says must be able to teach. Must be able to teach. Apt to teach. That word apt to teach means must be skillful in communicating scriptural truth. Amen. Amen. So anybody cannot just handle ministry responsibilities. No, you grow to that level. You grow to handle it. You understand? In a local church, people grow into leadership positions. You grow. And it's over time. We'll see you. We'll see your commitment to the word. We'll see your commitment to ministry, commitment to preaching and teaching Christ. We'll watch it over yet. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So a bishop must be able to teach.
Must be able to teach. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. So all elders in the local church are first teachers.
We'll get to see that very soon.
Do you understand me? Are first teachers. All elders in the local church are first teachers. First teachers.
An apostle that doesn't know how to teach, I don't know, but you are first of all a teacher. Because first of all a teacher, an apostle must be a teacher first. Must be able to teach. Teach.
Apt to teach. Because when he says in Matthew 28, he was speaking to apostles and he said teaching them. So an apostle is a teacher. Teaching them. A prophet is a teacher. Teaching them. An evangelist is a teacher, teaching them. Amen. Amen.
And the pastor too is a teacher. Glory to God. So the pastor is the head of the local church. The head of the local church. Is the head of the local church. Glory to God. So we begin to, we'll keep exploring more on pneumaticals as the years go by.
What is pneumaticals? So no, we get to talk about the matter at the end, but at the end, no bad. We'll be looking at it every 2 years. Just, you know, they talk about the matter. Just teach it on the matter every 2 years. We get to see this truth over and over and over and over. Over and over and over again. Remind ourselves of this truth.
Glory to God. So, this ministry gift will be found in men. Where? In the local church. Glory to God. Where will they be found? In men. Where? In the local church. Have you been blessed today? Have you been blessed today? Talk to your neighbor and share with your neighbor what you've learned today.